is the Tom Likas Show.
If you believe in God, you're probably not as smart as I am.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
It's fucking true.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me and a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. You happen to wander in on a day when you get an extra hour absolutely for free, no obligation. And joining us in studio, here he is, criminal defense attorney Adam Sack. Adam, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for being with me, Tom.
What's going on?
You know, Tom, Dino turned me on to a really interesting show. It was quite a commitment. It was 10 hours long. It was about O.J. Simpson on ESPN.
Yes.
Absolutely fascinating. One of the little tidbits they threw in was that O.J.'s father was gay. Scandal. And this pretty much blew his mind.
Is his name B.J.?
I don't know what his name was.
B.J. Simpson?
Apparently, this is something that Simpson found out, and it always was with him. And the other interesting thing, which I guess we kind of knew, broadly speaking, but it was really emphasized and talked about, was how violent O.J.'s relationship with Nicole had been. And it had always been. And I remember knowing and seeing and reading that, you know, he had been arrested once or twice for domestic violence. But apparently he was beating the crap out of her pretty much all the way through. And she even made comments to people like, don't tell OJ about this or he'll beat me up. And if this gets out, I'm going to get a two-day beating and so forth and so on. And this always goes back to begging the question of, you know, what does that mean and why does a woman stay in a relationship like that? And we have a society now that blames men, you know, 100%, and the woman is innocent and doesn't need treatment or anything. I was thinking about this hour you had a few hours ago about the boys saying what they don't like about women. And I think that what I don't like the most is the sense of entitlement and hypocrisy. And one of the madnesses, which is uniquely female, and I have to say, Tom, I know you love the brown ones, but I think this is absolutely cross-cultural. I think this is part of the makeup of women. I've seen, as you say, women from around the world, and this is pretty consistent that they like to entangle themselves up with crazy guys and assholes or whatever you want to call them, and usually the crazier the better. And women.
Well, that's why I recommend being an asshole.
Well, yeah, of course.
And part of being an asshole in that context means you pump them and dump them. You don't hang around and get involved in their lives and their drama. Those soap operas don't want to know about it. You get what you want, and then you get out.
I think my favorite saying was from Sam Kinison, and he said that there's a whole world of crazy women out there about to have a nervous breakdown and looking for someone to blame it on. So,
right?
You,
well, it's like I always say, I'm looking to meet a woman who wants to do something she's going to regret for the rest of her
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so, in that context, I want to talk about this. I have a client who apparently called a few days ago, was talking to you about abortion or something of the sort. And I'm doing some legal stuff for him, kind of unrelated to this. I'm getting him an expungement. But apparently, he had some very traumatic experiences with women and accidental pregnancies and all that sort of thing, and ultimately didn't date for a while. And so he is now getting back into the game, and he just wanted to kind of talk to me about some impressions I had and some, you know, ideas that I could suggest to him in terms of, you know, how to protect himself. And I think this is very important. A lot of guys do get into trouble, and you hear about it, and you see it on shows and so forth, and it's sort of presented to us as something that's strictly mysterious. that it was just bad luck, you know? And there are some things that I think guys can do. We've seen these, young athletes that were in high school that were very promising, and they end up getting this false rape accusation, and it ruins their lives and so forth. But I think that a lot of times guys could be a little more careful, and this is some of the suggestions I'm going to make now, and I think a lot of these things could be avoided. Now, Tom, this is something that I actually have to tell you. I learned it from you. But you've only kind of mentioned it casually a couple of times, in kind of in the background. But this is a thing of real brilliance that I think you came up with. For people that meet in the context of bars and parties and so forth, one of the things that you talked about is that, you know, you really want to be as aware of what's going on as possible, and that a really smart thing to do, maybe have one drink, but to keep your drinking limited, get yourself a little seltzer water or whatever. And, you know, as far as the woman knows, you're drinking vodka. But let her be the one that drinks while you want to limit your drinking and, you know, keeping yourself as conscious as possible, right? I mean, I've heard you say that a few times.
I still do say that, but I say it in response to a question.
Right.
So I'll always say that. When you meet somebody at a bar, tell the bartender, tell them you're an alcoholic. Tell them you're on the 12-step program.
Why not?
And tell them, look, but I'm going to be with that girl over there, so here's what I want you to do. Give me shots of ginger ale, and I'm going to make it look like I'm drinking tequila.
Right. I think that's brilliant. One of the other things that I think is really a good idea in the general context, and I know this might burn a little, Tom, but I really don't think it's a good idea to have sex on the first date. I really don't. I think that that's a big mistake, and I'm not saying it for any moral reason. I think that in the context of meeting someone very casually at a party or at some kind of a bar, and then, you know, certainly go to her house, I think that's really important. That shows a sense of invitation and that she invited you into her place. There's a whole thing where the domain is considered that when the man takes the woman to his place, that he was somehow more in control. You know, one of the things that people don't realize, and this is really interesting, and this relates to the OJ case, is, you know, who's going to be on a jury? And, you know, a lot of people get called for jury duty. They throw the notice away. A lot of people get excused because they have jobs and so forth. And so the people that kind of get whittled down and end up on the jury, and this is what happened in the OJ case, are tending to be kind of middle-aged black women and people that are available because they don't work or that they are unemployed or whatever they're doing and they can't get out of jury duty. And so you're not necessarily talking about the most brilliant cross-section of people. And you have to think about the entire context of what's going to be told to them. Whereas that you met someone at a bar and you took her to your place and she was very intoxicated. And we all know that women consent to sex and then kind of consent a second time, which is generally later or the next day when they think back at it and they tend to regret it and they have buyer's remorse. And then they start to think about you when you're not calling them back and you weren't very nice the next day. That's when a woman decides that it was rape. Because that's her way of absolving herself of guilt. And so you have to think about how's it going to look, God forbid, if this was ever presented to some kind of a finder of criminal liability like a jury, and the kind of mentality that you're going to face of, you know, relatively unintelligent people, people that don't have jobs, people that are around on the jury. And in this show, they interviewed some of the Simpson jurors. And, you know, here they had a very strong case against O.J. Simpson based upon the splattering of blood and the evidence and everything and all these other factors. And these dumb jurors were willing to overlook it all because they were feeling that Marcia Clark, who's the prosecutor, was a bitch. They didn't like her. I mean, that's literally what it came down to for some of these people in their thinking. And in the context of meeting someone in a bar, taking them to your place and fucking them and then not calling them anymore, that's a tremendous risk to take. One of the other things I think that's really a good idea, aside from going to her place, which again, Tom, is something that you always talk about as a smart thing to do, I think it's really smart to keep a paper trail. I've had a lot of guys that got accused of different kinds of things that told me the woman had sent them various text messages and emails, but they had deleted them. And, you know, getting them later is really difficult. I know people that have tried to subpoena things from Facebook and so forth that were deleted. Now, Facebook keeps everything forever and ever. They have databases you wouldn't believe that they store all the things you've ever done. But when you try to get that yourself, they are not going to give it to you very easily. It has to be by a court order, very hard to get. So if you're seeing a woman and then you're seeing her a second time and you have texts back and forth where she's saying, I'm really looking forward to see you, I can't wait to get my hands on you, you're so sexy, whatever, you should always keep that as a record because that keeps you in the context of her consenting that she agreed to this. One of the other things I think is really a good idea is certainly women go out in pairs and so forth. It's always good to have people that you recognize or your buddies or the bartender that you know kind of see you and kind of be aware that later on, if there's ever any question, there's a whole bunch of people that can talk about the incident and how you met her and how she was like with you and laughing and having a good time, and that this had already been the first or second or third time you had seen her, and that you know, she was very affectionate and friendly and all that stuff. It's always going to be good to have some kind of paper trail documentation and witnesses. And this is something that's going to go a long way. The inclination now, especially with restraining orders, which are very easy to obtain, and then criminal orders and so forth, have been changed. And the OJ case is actually the thing that changed them the most. The fact that OJ, in particular, had been convicted of domestic violence, and this was after several times of the cops kind of brushing it off and not arresting him because of his celebrity status. So they went there and they saw a famous person, which most of us are not famous, of course. But when he was finally convicted, in particular, he had a very long contract and agreement endorsing the Hertz rental company, where he had been in their car commercials and for, you know, renting the Hertz car. And that's sort of the famous thing of OJ running through the airport to get his car from Hertz. And even after he was convicted by the court in the case of Nicole beating her, they continued to keep him as a sponsor. That's pretty incredible. You see that when Mike Tyson, for example, was convicted of rape, that was pretty much the end of all his celebrity endorsements. And there have been numerous celebrities that endorse different kinds of products, Pepsi Cola and sneakers and that sort of thing. And when they started having problems with the law, whatever they were, these sponsors, you know, have ways of getting out of the agreement if there's going to be anything negative about the celebrity that could possibly disparage the product in any way. And they dump them right away. And what happened in the case of OJ, having then eventually killed Nicole, is that the reaction by a lot of the courts, and certainly in California especially, because it happened here, Los Angeles County especially, because it happened here, but also generally speaking in the nation and the sort of public awareness, was that, you know, domestic violence was a very important thing. Now, Tom, you've said this a few times that, you don't really buy the idea that domestic violence is necessarily any worse than violence, right? Any kind of violence.
And it's the same thing. That's
true.
Violence, and we've got laws against violence.
I have to agree with you. You know, it's amazing to me because we have a society that's sort of crazy in a way where, you know, if you and I assault one another, that's not appropriate, right? And if you assault a woman, that's not appropriate. And if she was a coworker, why is it any worse that she's your wife? I don't really follow that part. In other words, if you beat up a woman at the office or you beat up your wife, somehow the idea that you've beaten up your wife is 100 times worse. And that doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. I guess that the cost of it ends up being far greater in terms of the impact on the family or your children or the whole circumstance. But, you know, the fascinating...
But they may not even be a family. It may be you and some chick you're dating, and then they call it domestic violence.
I understand, but Tom, that's so much worse, legally speaking, than just...
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is, I don't know how we let that slip.
Right.
Violence is illegal. It needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We need to punish people who commit violent acts. why does domestic violence make it any worse? It makes no sense.
Exactly. I really find that problematic. And the impact that it has in general, you know, being called these things now, you know, socially speaking, you're going to lose your job. You're going to have all kinds of consequences, certainly to custody. It's pretty remarkable. And our society has really geared it that way. And as much as it's supposed to be gender neutral, and I have gotten restraining orders for men on behalf of, you know, against, on behalf of them and against a woman that they were afraid of that had been violent, that's generally not how it goes. And you see that when they make the laws, they call it the Violence Against Women Act, the VAWA. You know, that's, how's that protecting men? It's the Violence Against Women Act. I mean, that's the,
right.
The whole thing is obviously, very biased. Tom, I had an interesting thing happen a few weeks ago in one of my cases. This guy, I represent the guy, of course, and he's a P1, of course, and the wife and him got into some kind of an argument, and she showed up at his house. They had already separated. Anyway, she showed up at his house unannounced and went berserk, and he called the police, and when the police came, she literally attacked the officer and tried to grab his gun, okay? Like, she went for the holster, man.
Right.
So they arrested her, fair and square. And I got him a restraining order, and they charged her with a felony, attacking a police officer, which they then dropped down to a misdemeanor. And I've just been looking at this because obviously it connects to my case, which is the family law case, but this is her criminal charge is important. Anyway, here it is a couple of weeks later, and they dropped the charges, you know? Isn't that something?
Not surprised.
Well, you know, we have a real madness because if the man had done that, I think he would have had the book thrown at him. And it's remarkable in our society and our willingness to forgive women for these things. I think that on some level, as much as women are screaming that they're equal, we don't really believe that, and they don't really believe that either. And there is a sense that they want and expect and do get special treatment. And I was reading in one of these kind of evolutionary psychology books, and they were saying that the successful societies, I don't just mean like today, but like throughout history, always had to protect women because women had the unique ability to create more people. And so if you provision for women and you protect women and you give women special rights and special privileges, then they're going to reproduce and make more citizens, and your society is going to succeed and continue forward. But if women are not valued in society, then your society is going to die off because women are not going to be protected, and they're going to get killed, and they're not going to have children and so forth. And so in some crazy way, and you see the madness of it, I mean, we're on the cusp right now in the United States of having a woman president potentially. We have one of the major parties about to appoint Hillary Clinton as their nominee. And you have right now, today, a woman attorney general. She's even a black woman, but whatever, she's a woman. We have several women on the Supreme Court. I mean, that's not even unique anymore. There was a time when we put the first woman there, and now it's no big deal. We have women astronauts. We have women in really every walk of life. And then we've had the Speaker of the House of Representatives be a woman, women CEOs. And we still have this craziness. And I'm amazed at it. I'm just absolutely amazed when they debate these things on the internet, for example, on Facebook and stuff, they talk about this. And women today, with all their earning potential and all their equality, and, you know, you have the majority now of students graduating university are women and so forth, and they're still saying that men should pay for dates and that, you know, women should be treated, given special privileges and special benefits, right, and so forth. And in the violence things and in the domestic violence, it is never more true. And, you know, Tom, it's very harsh because, and I've debated this with, like, I don't know, my family members or whatever, you know, what is dating fundamentally? And, you know, if you want to really call it what women like to think, that it's this romantic thing, the truth is, it's a fact, it really is war. It really is war between men and women. And guys, I hate to say it, on some level today, are taking a real risk. You're risking someone who's going to turn on you, who's going to try to take your property, who's going to try to charge you with crimes, who is going to accuse you of raping her, who is going to lie about the circumstances of what happened, and is going to essentially the whole time look at you and size you up and try to see what you're worth to her and what she can get from you and how far she can take it. And guys, in a lot of ways, have to play a defensive game, like I've just said, that they should, you know, make sure they meet a woman and go to her place, make sure that they don't get intoxicated too much, make sure that there are witnesses, that there are people that see them together, make sure that they keep text messages and emails and other communications in case something comes of it, you know? We always play Dino's voicemail with that lady that calling him a jerk or whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's hilarious. But in all context of my legal thinking, if I was Dino dating that woman and she left that message, I would save that message. Because that message refers to her consent.
Oh, we're still playing it 15 years later.
Of course. I understand. It's a great message. But what I'm saying is that if that bitch ever turned around and listen to how angry she is. Let's say she had tried to accuse Dino of assaulting her or forcing her or whatever. That message is his ticket to freedom. Because that message says, she actually says, you know, you got lucky, it's never going to happen again. You know, that is very significant. And, you know, I've had guys tell me I had a message, but I deleted it, you know, and it's like, damn, that's crazy. All the artifacts of the relationship have to be kept. I mean, if she lets you keep her underwear, for example, you know, as a souvenir, you need to have that. You need to remember these things, because in the context of the dating relationship being war, which it is, you have to be able to be in a defensive position at all times. And if it goes south and she ends up freaking out, you need to be able to kind of pull it back together and say, well, here's how I met her. Here's when she consented. Here's where we did this. We went to her place. She invited me into her bedroom, et cetera, et cetera. Because she's going to have a completely diametrically different memory of it. And we have a whole world that's telling her that her feelings count and the facts aren't that important. And when I think of young guys in college today and so forth, I'm scared for them. I don't think it's the 1960s free love thing. I think it's her trying to give you the minimum and you trying to get sex from her. That's the bottom line. And she's, right, like you always say, Tom, she's trying to wrangle as many meals and belts and whatever else she can get the hell out of you.
That's exactly what she's doing.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
The pain of it for a young man, I think, especially if he's, you know, inexperienced or whatever, is to be really, really aware. And, you know, Tom, tell me about this. Now, I want to hear your opinion about this. This is a good one. You know, there's a thing that they call in the pickup community LMR, last minute resistance, okay? Now, I was schooled, we were given the seminars in college, that when a woman says no, no means no, fuck you, that's the end, you have to stop. And it is very, very common when you start kind of, you know, going for the kill, that the girl kind of resists a little and kind of pushes you away once or twice, or somehow in order to feel good about it, she has to show that she at least gave some token resistance and that she said no. And, you know, I've always been really sensitive to that. When a woman says no and I'm like, okay, fine, you know, get out of here, you know, because I had that kind of consent idea in my mind. But at the same time, I think that that's something that they like to do, and that they want you to keep going. They want you to kind of, you know, I don't know, back off and then start again or something. What do you think of that?
Well, I have a technique that I've used when I hear that.
Right.
And I get up and start putting my clothes on. I say, well, I understand. I'm going to go, but have a great night. And make them beg me to come back in.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So that it is clear. But I don't fight that. I don't want to be debating it.
Right.
So I immediately just get up and get ready to leave.
And how many times have you been prevented from leaving?
Every time.
Right.
Every time.
That's
but
right.
Now, at least in my head, if not in some other way documented, now she specifically asked me to come back and take my clothes off again.
Right.
So there is no doubt where we're at. There's no saying later, Oh, I didn't know you were going to do that. You told me to do it. You told me to come back in.
Right. I think that's right. That's really right. That seems that the smart thing to do would be to kind of play that way with her.
Most guys are pussies, and they start begging.
Right.
You know, oh, come on, let me do it. Come on, I'll only put in the tip. Oh, come on. And I won't demean myself that way. The minute somebody says no, not only does no mean no, no means I'm getting out of that bed and getting the fuck out.
Right. Right. That's smart. So I think that the idea then when she says, you know, that little token resistance, you disengage. You say, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to go. You start getting dressed, and you let her freak out and get you to stay.
Right.
Brilliant.
Or maybe she calls my cell phone and leaves a message and says, where did you go?
I still think
Leave me a little evidence there.
The thing that you say where you say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I guess there's no chemistry between us or whatever.
Right.
That's my favorite.
I love that one. Yes.
Yeah, I really like you, and I really was hoping this was going to work out, but, you know, there's just no chemistry, and we can't force that, right? You know, so let's just be friends. I'm going to go. You know, I know you were looking forward to spending my millions, but you're not going to get to. Bye.
Yeah, or getting me to spend $400 on dinner or whatever.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, you know, since there's no chemistry.
I love it.
I got to get up in the morning anyway. Look at the time. It's already 8:45.
Oh, no, look at the time.
Night.
See, I think if a man doesn't look at it in the context of scarcity, that you say, like, you know, if not this one, there'll just be another bus in a couple of minutes, you know? The idea that this particular woman and her pussy are so special and so great that you have to have it, that's something that they use against us in a big way. And if you play it the other way and you just say, hey, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. The hell with it. You know, you're resisting me. I'm going to go.
Right.
You have to be willing to do that.
I will never debate it. I will never be in a position of arguing. Never, never. So that way I never get in trouble because I always say, hey, if you're not interested, I'm just going to go. Have a great night.
Right. I love it. All right, Tom. I'm with you.
All right. We'll take a break. He's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and he is here to answer your legal questions. This is free legal advice for you right now. But in order to get your free legal advice, you have to start dialing in. And whether you've been accused of a DUI, whether you've been accused in a drug bust, whether they accused you of something you didn't do, oh, that's the worst.
Hate that.
Sometimes you need to talk to an attorney, all right? So you're going to talk to Adam right now at this number, 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-TOM. Come on, boys, let's go. It's Adam Sachs and free legal advice for you on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show at 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, that's where Adam Sachs is, that's where Gary and Dino are, that's where Mikey Timpson is. And, of course, I am at the Radio Ranch at New Normal North, getting ready for the 4th of July weekend. I'm having a big cookout, doing some wine tasting this weekend. So I'm here getting ready for that, but the show continues at 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. Talk to criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000-TOM, that's our number. 901-3000-866. Here is Michael in Ottawa. Michael, you're on the Tom Likas Show with our friend Adam Sachs. Hello.
Adam was mentioning a few minutes ago how important it is to keep the evidence after you date somebody or see somebody. And I just want to mention there's a case in Canada with the most famous Canadian radio personality, and he was sort of forced out of his job after he sort of admitted that he was into rough sex, and he had choked a few women, like, with his hand. I don't know.
I know. I heard about
no
this one.
Was, yeah, his name was Gian Gomeshi.
Right.
And he had the most highest-paying radio job in Canada, or one of them. He was certainly the most famous. And he was sort of forced out of his job, went to trial, and at the trial, I think there were four women that had brought these charges of assault. None of them were about rape or sexual assault. It was just about rough choking or this kind of a thing that they came forward with these charges. And on each of the charges, one of the women, after he supposedly did these horrendous acts, He produced a photo she'd sent him from an email with her in a bikini and telling him how much she wanted to get back together with him and how she was into that kind of thing. Another one got together with him and gave him a hand job afterwards, so, you know, on a separate occasion, and lied about it and said it never happened, and he was able to prove it because he kept... I mean, it's almost scary. There's a recreation they did of the trial, but you can probably watch it online, but it's almost scary that almost every woman, I guess, because he was this public figure, he kept every love note, every email, everything going back 10 years almost of things, and that's what got him off. Now, there's a second trial with him right now with another person for a different charge, I guess, but honestly, literally, his get-out-of-jail-free card at this trial was keeping the evidence.
Crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. Like it's
Let me ask you this. What happens now? Does he stay fired? Does he file a lawsuit against the CBC? What recourse does he have for his career?
I can't answer that. I wouldn't be able to say.
I imagine, Adam, he could sue these chicks as well.
No, I think he's pretty tainted by the scandal, Tom, to tell you the truth.
Well, I think my guess is he'll probably, like, he was so popular and so famous and had this sort of FM radio voice kind of thing. My guess is hopefully he'll move to the internet and this won't stain him or, you know, for the rest of his life. But I think some people had talked about him potentially suing for wrongful dismissal, and they said that he you know, it was at their will, and there's some kind of morality clause or whatever.
You got to really look at it. I mean, there are a lot of women, especially, that are into edgy sex like that, and there is some kind of vibe, and this is very clear with female psychology, where a woman consents and then sort of reconsiders her consent afterwards. And that's pretty twisted. And you've seen these posters where they say, you know, these are memes of something like, you know, your regret does not withdraw your consent. And basically, I think there's kind of a world where a woman does some really nasty thing with a guy, which is what happened with this radio guy, where he was into some kind of S&M type of thing. And that's fine. I mean, if people want to do that, what the hell? But then the problem was is that I think, you know, literally being a famous guy, he's a target. And these women, you know, weren't getting married to him, or he wasn't calling them back fast enough or whatever. And so they turned around and said, oh, wait a minute, I never agreed to that. And like you said, that one woman, I remember that she saw him like a couple of days later and gave him some kind of a hand job or whatever. So that's not exactly consistent with a woman who was assaulted or angry with what he had done, obviously. But you see how women have a way of sort of rewriting it. You know, in the Islamic countries, and this is something that's very, very criticized, and it's right out of their holy book, the Quran, it says that a woman's testimony is only worth a fraction of a man's. And I think that's wrong, of course, but I think that that's what that came from, where they were essentially saying, you know, women are not as reliable in terms of testimony, because I think, and it's true, women testify falsely out of spite or avarice. And I think that women also remember things very much based on their emotional state and how they feel. Women always say that. And I've talked to women, and they've said to me, well, I realized the next day that he had raped me. Or I realized it. There's a thing they say, it felt rapey. Like, that's a word. I don't even know what that word is. But the bottom line is that if you agreed and you got into bed with the guy, and then later on you felt bad about it or you regretted it, that's sick. That's sick. And these women are willing to try to set a guy up to go to jail for 20 years. And I think that
that's the crazy part about this thing, is that it's not like it's a civil trial where there's some payout for them.
No,
criminal. None of them thought this is criminal, but none of them thought that it was a big enough thing. This all happened over, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. None of them thought that this was a bad enough thing that he should be charged for, or that they ever reported it to the police. It's like after there was the call went out to say he sort of had a reputation as being rough. And after the call went out and said, well, if he did this to you, then come forward and we'll take your testimony. Only then did they round up these four
right.
or five different women who were willing to go, and who, you know, there are probably more, but maybe they thought just these were the ones that make good witnesses or whatever. But after this, none of them ever thought it was enough of a big deal to ever consider it assault or go to the police or whatever else. But at the same time, it was not like there's a payout in it for them or any kind of a thing. Like, it was, it's, It's a very sick thing, you know. When I
used to live in Virginia, there was a guy. I remember at the time he was a sportscaster on news. His name was Marv Albert, and he apparently was into biting. And by some twist of fate, he was in Washington D.C., which is one bridge to Virginia, and apparently all the hotels were booked up in Washington, and so he booked a hotel just across the bridge in Virginia. And Virginia is a very conservative state, very different than D.C. And so what ended up happening is that he did some kind of sexual nasty thing with this woman, and he bit her all over the place, literally, like teeth marks. And she reported it that he had forced her or whatever it was. Apparently she liked it when he was doing it. And apparently in Virginia, he was facing 50 years to life. I mean, it was like unbelievable.
There were other facts in that case, by the way, yes. Including the fact that Marv Albert, although he'd been calling this chick every... Oh, I know the case because we talked about it.
Uh-huh.
Marv Albert would call this chick anytime he was in town
right. Doing
the New York Knicks games with the Washington Bullets at the time, or the Washington Wiz, whatever they were calling them back then.
Right.
And she'd apparently, according to what I read, had been over many times to his hotel room. But this particular time Marv was in town, he had announced that he was engaged to a young, fresh, hot ESPN producer.
Uh-oh.
And this woman was from Argentina, I believe, and like in her 50s. And from what I could tell, was not very happy that Mr. Albert had decided to get married to this chick.
Uh-huh.
So it seems to me, in my opinion, that suddenly the behavior that had been acceptable all these years... It seems to me that somehow it became unacceptable.
Right. See, so isn't that...
He bit off more than he could chew there, Tom.
Well, maybe. He did bite her. Wasn't that the thing, Tom?
Yes, he bit her. On her back and, right. I don't know about other places, but on her back is what we heard the most
right.
about.
I'm just saying that, you know, particularly in the context of these things, that guys are assuming a woman has consented, and she has consented, but, you know, this is somehow a woman's prerogative to change the mind. And the problem is that women will do this, you know, on a whim, and you are facing 20 years, you know? That's the joke of it. And so,
I'd just like to be clear about the guy in Canada. He supposedly, his thing was that he just, out of the blue, just closed fist clocked him in the face or something, or like it was a surprise. Like it was just completely...
he would punch
you? Well, but yeah, like either backhand slap or closed fist, like just out of the blue, like just like with no warning and no. And some of them said, I would be into this if only you'd warned me, or I didn't even see it coming. Like it's just the oddest thing if you read about this guy.
I think you'd be into it if, you know, I had known you were going to give me more money. But who knows?
Exactly. Thanks, guys.
So you see there, Tom,
well, thank
again.
Thank you. Wow.
The paper trail wins every time. Seriously.
That's right. Exactly. Amazing.
Those perverted Canadians.
I hadn't known about that, I'll tell you what.
That's a good one.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. When we come back, Adam will tell you how you can get in touch with him personally and get help with that DUI or get help with that drug bust or whatever else you've been accused of doing. He'll help you out with that. Meanwhile, if you'd like to talk to Adam directly and get some free legal advice right now, call this number, 901-3000-TOM is the number. 901-3000-TOM to talk to Adam Sachs right now. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number to talk to criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs in this bonus hour. 901-3000-TOM, that's the number here. It's 901-3000-866. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook or on World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com, and you can always send me an email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Very good. Now, before I let you go, I have one question for
yes.
you about the law, And you probably have seen these stories recently about what was found at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch.
Oh, charming.
Which is a stone's throw from where I am, back in 2003. This is all the stuff that the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department never revealed to the public. And now it was revealed. And what was found there? Headshots of young boys and girls, images of child torture, adult and child nudity, sadomasochism, naked men and women in photos, apparently used to groom children for sex with minors, and life-size mannequins, mostly of boys, and they were in various states of undress and positioned in various ways, including one where there were two boys talking to each other, and there's a photo of it. When you look at this, how it's like the OJ case. How do they not get this guy?
Well, I think that there's no doubt, and it's not a very nice thing to say at this point, speaking poorly of the dead, but Michael Jackson was certainly a pedophile, and he had some real issues. Now, I don't fault him if he wanted to look at porn or torture or whatever turns him on. But I'm a you know, First Amendment fanatic. I think you are too, Tom. But I draw the line at child pornography. And I think that Michael Jackson certainly fetishized children. And I think that when you look at the cases that actually emerged, he had two separate criminal cases. I think he was guilty both times. I think the first time he bought off the victim, I read interviews with that person later on that Michael Jackson was guilty as hell. That had gone on for a long time. And then the second time, I think that the way it was handled by Santa Barbara Sheriff and the prosecution, and when you look at the way the mother took money and tried to get rich from it, and they were using Michael Jackson and all this other nonsense, I think that clouded up a lot of the issues. But if you look at, you know, what he was doing in his personal life, if he wants to look at pictures of S&M or whatever, I could care less as long as he sticks to adults. Generally speaking, we see this, and this is true in the OJ case also. I mean, we worship celebrities, and we allow celebrities to get away with things that other people don't get away with. And this was demonstrated very clearly in the O.J. case, when the police came to the house in Brentwood, and you know, he had beaten up Nicole, and she was bleeding, or she had bruises on her face, or whatever, and the police treated, you know, O.J. in a very, very different way because he was famous, and he was a star, and he was loved and admired, and all this other stuff, and they interviewed in this documentary I mentioned some of the cops that had encountered him, and they let him get away with shit. I mean, that's a fact. And I think that Michael Jackson was also treated that way. Now, that Neverland Ranch, I mean, he had done a lot of really positive things for children with cancer and children with all kinds of issues. And I think that, you know, he wasn't 100% evil. I don't think anyone is. But he obviously had something going on with children and those particular boys that accused him of assault and so forth. And what he was doing, taking those drugs and, you know, the surgical drugs and all the kind of stuff with the, remember the thing with the Jesus juice and he was giving it to the kids,
yeah,
and all this? I mean, the guy was fucked up. What can I say?
He also apparently liked that hypnotic vodka. Remember hypnotic vodka?
Yeah.
Yeah, he liked that.
He was essentially plying young children with alcohol and drugs and exposing them to images that they were not ready for, and he was grooming them, and he was doing a lot of really classic pedophile behaviors. And I think that because of his celebrity and who he was the people were, you know, loath to convict him or even charge him. That's about it. I hate to say it. Celebrities get away with things. I mean, what do you want to say?
But you see all this circumstantial evidence. And it's kind of amazing that they weren't able to make any kind of case.
Well, I mean, they did bring two cases against him, you know, in L.A. and in Santa Barbara.
But he was found not guilty, yeah, in both of them.
Well, there you go. It pays to be a celebrity. It pays to have a good lawyer. I mean, there are many factors that come together in these things. But he's certainly a strange character. And I try to think of him for the positive he did rather than the negative, right?
Oh, well, not me. I like to think of the perv in him.
He's such a lovable guy, Tom.
That's who I am, Adam. All right, one more time. How can people get in touch with you?
Give me a call toll-free at 800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. Now, you know, you can always hear Adam. There's a bonus hour every week at this very same time. It's Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary's Dino.
Yay.
South Carolina ranks first in the country for dudes killing broads.
Oh, yeah. I saw
number
it. I thought it meant
one.
Southern California first,
no.
But no.
Number one.
Yes.
I don't know what ramps up our friends in South Carolina, but something is going down because...
Yeah. Well, the latest numbers available from 2013, 57 females were murdered by guys.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's kind of weird.
Oh, wow.
As far as race goes, 34 of those 57 were white, 21 black, one Asian broad, unfortunately.
There you go. Everybody shut up because there's an example where white women were killed, you know, a lot of them. So there you go. Stop blaming black folks.
21 were killed by handguns. And there were quite a few that were cut by cutting instruments.
Hmm.
Wow. And then also...
Unless I'm getting Timson.
Also blunt objects. No, that's actually happened.
Is that real?
Yeah. A pastor charged in Kentucky in an undercover sex sting trying to bang little boys has conveniently died before he had to go to court.
He doesn't look that old either.
No, he's only 46.
I'm worried about the tragic passing of Dave Brown.
Yeah. Mr. Brown, the arrest came after he used an online site to arrange a meeting for sex with a minor and arrived in the parking lot only to meet the cop.
That First Christian Church of Jeffersonville, that's where a friend was the senior pastor.
Yeah. So we were informed that he died by the church, and we're not given any details. They just said, please pray for his family and our church.
How did he die?
That's what I'm saying. They're not giving any details.
I want the answer.
Well, go ahead and guess.
I just want to see if Pastor McYoung has killed himself or did somebody take him out.
Right. They call it the Venice Foreplay Cruise. This involves nudity on a cruise. It's clothing optional. Maybe you're down, maybe you're not.
No. But only because I know what kind of people go on these types of things, and it's not what you think at all.
Mm-hmm.
Sex-themed cruises.
Yeah. The cruise which will visit ports in Italy, Croatia, and Slovenia, where you got to put your clothes on, obviously, when you hit land.
Right, but when you're past that 12-mile mark in international waters, you can be internationally naked.
It will be a life-changing situation for our passengers and will become the sensual way to get away. The sensual way to get away. Featuring provocative entertainment as well.
See, I understand I'm laughing at this. The other thing I didn't get.
It's crazy. And a former Tucson reporter's a husband-wife combo charged with child abuse because... Because apparently this broad was breastfeeding her child after they went on a cocaine binge.
Yeah, she had stopped doing it 12 hours prior, and she thought it would be okay.
Yeah, okay.
But no. It certainly went downhill from there. The baby was taken to the hospital after being breastfed, and it appeared to be in distress, and the tests revealed that cocaine was in the four-month-old's body.
Not good.
Yeah, the baby's currently living with a relative. That's got to be Timpson now.
Plenty more news for guys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryAndDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.